Welcome to Senior Power of Maine.
Hi, I'm Lynn McGregor.
And I'm David Neely, and welcome to Senior Power.
And now for our first guest, we have the lighthouse keeper at Bug Light in South Portland, Maine, and that's Bug Light, not Bud Light. We'd like to welcome Jack Roberts to the show. Tell us about how you got started at Bug Light.
Oh, that is real easy. I was a member of the South Portland St. Elizabeth Rotary Club back in, I started in 1976, and then I was the incoming president the year of 89 and 90. And in 1988, Dana Anderson was the Parks and Recreation Director for the City of South Portland. And I also happened to work at the City of South Portland. And Dana had come across these funds or a grant that was available to restore lighthouses. It had originally been sponsored by Senator George Mitchell from Maine. And the city, in order to access the funds, needed to have seed money from a private source. So Dana knew that I was incoming president and asked if I thought that the Rotary Club would be interested in doing that. So I told him it sounded like it'd be a decent project, that I'd have to get back to him. I spoke with the club, and they were very enthusiastic about doing it. The city needed $13,000, which back in 1988 was a considerable amount of money for a club our size. We're not that large. So we asked them if we could provide $6,500 during the current year and then $6,500 during my year. And they said that would be fine. We had a good reputation in the city, so they knew that we were good for it, and they were able to, with that agreement that we'd pay over the 2 years, they were able to put that in and to leverage the funds. And the seed money actually leveraged close to $75,000 eventually to restore the lighthouse. It was, and I've got a picture that unfortunately you can't see it, of the condition that it was in 1988. Windows were all broken out. A lot of the metal parts had deteriorated and were in need of repair. And if you looked at it, people could have said, let's just bulldoze it over. It's not worth saving. Well, we have proven them wrong on that. So,
certainly have. It's a beautiful landmark and land site. I used to boat out of Spring Point Marina and always loved passing Bug Light.
It's unique. It's the only one in the world that's designed the same way. It's believed that it was modeled after the Karagic Monument in Lysicrates, Greece, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, near the Acropolis. And apparently put up to honor the theater groups of the time back in Greece in 400 B.C., and it still stands today over there, although that, I guess, is in terrible shape from what people have told me. And Greece doesn't have any funds to take care of it either. So the club originally was supposed to just be providing the seed money, do the repairs, and get the lighthouse looking decent again. But approximately 4 years after we had all of the renovations done, it was getting rusty again, needed a coat of paint. It's cast iron and on salt water. That's not a good combination.
No.
So I went to Dana and said, what's going on? Why isn't the city taking care of it? Dana said, we just don't have the money. And he reached into his drawer and pulled the key out and said, would you like to take care of it? So again, I said, well, let me get back to the club. And they decided that that would be a good ongoing project that would fit our needs as well as the city's, so we agreed to do it. The interesting thing is that Bug Light, or Portland Breakwater Light, is the official seal of the City of South Portland, and the Portland Headlight is the official seal for the town of Cape Elizabeth. Well, at the time, the Rotary Club had a bulletin, two lights, which was not the two lights in Cape Elizabeth, but the two seals of the South Portland and Cape Elizabeth, and of course the club was representing South Portland Cape Elizabeth. So we had a really neat tie-in as far as taking it over and taking care of it.
That, and so it's been maintained by the Rotary for all this time?
It had been maintained by us since basically 1988 when we first gave them some of the money.
Holy cow, that's a long time.
It is.
Yeah. Well, you guys been, doing a remarkable job, Jack.
We have put in about 100 with in-kind contributions. I've been very fortunate in having people willing to donate services and to help us out or to give us reduced costs on painting or concrete work, things like that. But we've put in about $140,000 to get that looking good again and to keep it painted.
And what's on and the again, inside of it, Jack?
On the inside, there's actually, it looks small, but there are three stories. There's a first, you walk in through the door, and I believe that first floor was probably used primarily for storage. There's nothing in there now to indicate that there was anything else. You go up a small iron set of stairs, and you get onto the second floor, where you can look out through the little portholes that serve as the windows. And the second floor was actually a machinery room that housed the weights that ran that turned the light itself, and that would strike the bell that was on the outside. So you can, we've got that marked inside. You know what that's all about. And then you go up a small iron ladder to the lantern room. And from the lantern room, you can actually, there's a hatch that a few people can get out. I'm one of them. I typically go to clean the windows occasionally, but and that's what the keeper back in the day would have had to do. And he would have had to do it more often than I do it, because as an active aid to navigation, it was imperative that it was clean.
So the celebrations there, like there are, I guess, times when folks can rent it for private functions or the whole park, right, about 9-acre park, and they can also go there to watch the 4th of July fireworks. And, I mean, it's been really sort of celebrated as an asset in many ways for that area. And what would they do to find out more about that? They'd go to the South Portland website?
I believe there'd probably be something on there. I know the City Parks and Recreation Department handles any kind of scheduling like that for it, through the Park Department. We don't want to be involved in that.
No. Well, Jack, you know, it's been a real pleasure having you on today. And do you have any final thoughts or things you'd like to say for the benefit of the Rotary and the ongoing fundraising efforts to keep Bug Light maintained?
I'm unabashed about telling people if you're in the greater Portland area, if you're looking for a Christmas tree. We've been selling them at Mill Creek Park since 1962, and a lot of the money we raise there goes to a lot of community programs, services, and to take care of Bug Light.
Excellent. So any other?
You can buy your tree there. we'd appreciate it.
Well, any other fundraisers that you do, or is that it, or? Is there an admission charge into Bug Light?
We have not charged admission at any point. We've felt that it was an opportunity to give back to the community, and we do have usually a bucket there if somebody wants to leave some donations. And we've had one woman that donated $1,000. She was the granddaughter of one of the keepers, and we've had others that have left us $500. We've had children that have left pennies and nickels.
I love that story. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll make sure that people know that that's there if they come out to visit. I think that what you've done is astounding, and I'd like to thank you for keeping it there. And it's such a learning experience for the kids to be able to go out and see that. I mean, it's a firsthand lesson.
It's great, yeah, and I know that South Portland, every year, or at least most years, the third grade class, they bring them out over a course of four Fridays, typically, to go through the lighthouse, go through the museum, and to see the shipyard monument. So we try to get the kids involved in it as much as possible.
Excellent. Well, Jack, thank you again. We appreciate you being on.
Very good.
Now we have Gary Crocker on, Maine Humorous. And Gary, what's on your mind today?
Did you hear? about the passing of Roy Hill? Roy Hill passed away. My Uncle Roy, he was quite the man. I'm telling you right now. Roy Hill was just one of those, well, he was a pillar of the community, no question about it. And his wife, Ingrid, Ingrid was something herself. They were quite the team. And well, anyway, Roy died, and Ingrid ran right down to Kennebec Journal, that local newspaper, and threw his obituary right on the desk of the editor. The obituary had, 4,500 pages. It was quite thick. Slammed it down. She'd been working on an obituary for about 10 years. She'd been hopeful. And at any rate, the editor took one look at that. He said, "Oh, my God, Ingrid, do you have any idea what it's going to cost you to run an obituary of that length in the newspaper? I mean, we'll have to run a special edition just to run a portion of that. I mean, that's just way beyond the pale." She said, All right, let's just call it good. Let's just put in an announcement. Everyone wants to know, so I'll let them know. Let's just say Roy Hill died. That's it. Okay. Is that good enough?" She said, "Well, no, we've got a 7-word minimum. You can't do just 3 words. Roy Hill died. And that doesn't get it done. It's at least 7 words. She thought for a minute. She said, All right, run this. Roy Hill dies. 1968 Chevy for sale." That ought to be, it's because that's a twofer right there. See, I'm letting people know Roy's gone, and I'm doing a little business on the side.
Now we have with us Laura Fassett, who's one of the stars at the Senior Planning Center, and she'll be sharing with us a variety of good information and how the Senior Planning Center best serves its clients. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
And my guess is that you must have had some affinity for seniors and or working with seniors so that it was a natural fit for you to get involved with the Senior Planning Center.
You're correct. I definitely have a special place in my heart for seniors. Even when I was a candy striper back then, that's what they called them, candy stripers way back then, I worked in nursing homes.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go around and deliver the magazines and coffee and things like that?
I did.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know what they call them now.
I'm not sure they would actually be allowed to call them that these days, Laura. But this radio station is for mature audiences only. So that's how you started working with seniors, and you have since, of course, joined the Senior Planning Center and learned a little bit about Medicare health plans.
I have. I've learned a lot about Medicare health plans. I truly love what I do here. We were able to help so many people within our community, Maine being a low-income state. It's kind of interesting that a lot of our seniors are not aware of different programs that are available to them, so it makes me very happy to be able to present that and get them signed up and see what we can do to save them a lot of income, which is very nice.
And so it really is a sort of a comprehensive look. Then you're not just talking to them about maybe some of their health-related issues, looking at some of the medications they're on, et cetera, but also getting to know a little bit about the individual to see what additional help we might be able to provide them through the Senior Planning Center, with our knowledge anyway, of the Medicare Savings Programs, right?
Exactly. The Medicare Savings Program is one of the programs that we sign many, many of our seniors up for, and it does a lot for them. Gives them low-income prescription drugs. It saves them the Part B premium, and depending on what they qualify, it could also pay their medical copays. So it's a really a nice thing to be able to present, because it is income-based, and the lower the income, of course, the more it benefits you. But it's hard to be that low of an income.
And when you're talking about saving on the Part B premium, of course, if they're already on Medicare, they'll know what that costs. But, I mean, isn't that somewhere around, what, $148 a month in savings?
Correct. $148.50.
And then, of course, if they're getting lower co-pays on meds, that could add up depending on some of that. So do you have any stories that you could share with us? And I say anecdotal stories. I know everybody that works at the Senior Planning Center has at least a story or two about folks that have come in that they had not expected to be able to help to the extent in which they did, but seriously help change lives.
Oh, my goodness. We have so many. Which one to choose from? You're right. We do help a lot. I think the one that will be forever forged in my memory is that I did have an elderly couple, very low income, came in to review, you know, what Medicare plan options might be available. And part of what we do when we're reviewing plan options is we also see if they may qualify for the Medicare Savings Program. And again, most of our seniors don't realize that there are programs out there that could assist them. And the Medicare Savings Program is a really good one. So what I did is I helped them complete the paperwork. It looked like they were definitely going to qualify. The process itself takes a little bit of time. It takes about 30 days or so before we actually hear back as to whether or not they've qualified.
Hear back from...
I can tell you.
Hear back from DHHS, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, all the paperwork goes off to DHHS. And I can tell you, I knew immediately when they were approved because they came into the office in tears of joy, as we were able to save them about $300 a month, which was really nice. And I think what I like most is that the relationship with our clients doesn't stop there. When we help someone like that, you become much like almost family to them. This couple comes into the office several times throughout the year just to say hi, see how we're doing, you know, if they're out shopping locally. And then this past Christmas, they came in. She had crocheted a beautiful angel for my office. And I actually still have that up on my wall to this day because it is just so pretty. And I like to tell people about it because I'm probably the happiest insurance agent you'll ever find. It's always a nice feeling to be the one, you know, our slogan, the help when it matters most. It really is a nice feeling to be able to be the person who helps when it matters most.
So Laura, we thank you so much for being on today and appreciate all the good work you do on behalf of seniors all over Maine.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me today. I truly appreciate it. And you have a great day.
And welcome Gary Crocker.
You've been to Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they have big buildings down there, more than two or three stories. You know, there's this one hotel I went to. Me and Mother went to Portland. I don't know. It must have been about 10 years ago. We went down. We took Junior with us. And we're walking into this hotel. We're going to spend the night. Mother had somehow figured out how to make reservations. We had a room and everything. Well, we marched into that hotel, and there was this... Junior and I were looking at the wall because it was three areas that looked all metal. That's all they looked. It was just metal, pieces of metal on the wall there. Couldn't understand what exactly that metal was. So anyway, we're standing there gazing at the metal. And all of a sudden, one of them three metal areas, kind of doors that were doors, they slid open and two or three people walked out. Then the doors closed again. Huh. I thought, that's odd. We watched it, and Mother went shopping to the mall, which is just across the street there from the hotel. And we started, Junior and I were just mesmerized by them doors on the wall. They kept opening and closing. And at one point, we'd only been watching for two or three hours. At one point, an older woman, she must have been in her well into her 90s. She was on a cane. She hobbled across the floor, and that's when we noticed that she stuck her bony finger out and she touched a little button on the wall, and that's what caused them doors to open. Well, she stepped right inside and them doors closed behind her. And that's when we also noticed that there were little lights on the side, and it went bing, 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 all the way up to seven or eight floors. It stopped. We watched that light sit there for a minute. Then it come bing, 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 all the way down, and them doors open, and a gorgeous 25-year-old woman stepped out. I looked right at Junior, and I said, Junior, go get your mother.
And now we have with us Dr. Len Kay, our Sage Lens, at the look of Aging in Maine. In fact, he's the director of the UMaine Center on Aging. And welcome to the show, Len.
Always a pleasure to join you, David.
You know, we have talked before about how people are living longer and living healthier. But my guess is you have a few magic ways that folks can do that. And maybe some of it's not magic, because I do know that some of it just makes perfect sense.
Well, you're right about that. There's no magic formula. We've talked about this. Wish there was. I'd be the first to purchase that and share it with others. It just doesn't exist. It requires a little fortitude and focus. Commitment and perseverance.
Well, you know, one of the things on your Center on Aging news is about the senior volunteer walking buddies. And we both know that walking is certainly a great way to try and maintain a little bit of youth and vigor.
Oh, it certainly is. It's virtually painless. We are very excited about that initiative for a number of reasons. It's easy. It lends itself to socializing and meeting other people. And everyone, I repeat, everyone can do it safely, because you're outside. You can walk at whatever distance you want from others and feel safe. And along the way, you can enjoy tours of all the interesting locations and venues that Maine has to offer.
Oh, is this a statewide program?
Well, our RSVP program is not statewide, but it does cover a number of counties in central Maine. It wouldn't take much for folks to create their own Walking Buddies program. I mean, all you have to do, literally, is call up a few friends and say, let's meet at the local park and take a walk.
Oh, that's right. And of course, you know, my dogs used to keep me walking enough. Now, of course, one of my dogs is much older, so it's a very short walk. And I find that means I'm taking a very short walk. So it does make sense, both for social engagement and to stay healthy, to touch base with a friend or two or more and create one of these Walking Buddies programs, because at least a few times a week, if somebody can't make it, there'll be somebody else that can, and you can get out there and do your thing.
Exactly right. And if you are living in Hancock or Penobscot or Piscataquis County, Waldo County, you can be a part of an organized effort to do that by calling the Center on Aging and the RSVP program.
And there are other things that we could call somewhat mini fountains of youth, because clearly walking and wellness go hand in hand. But I as well had talked to you once before, and we talked how people just don't retain water quite as well. And there are some other issues that just naturally come with aging that suggest that it really is a combination of learning up on what you can best do for your system, as well as disciplining yourself for certain do's and don'ts.
You know, David, I'm so glad we're talking today, because I've come across, this is hot off the press, I've come across a recent publication in a very respected journal by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, who have another clue into what can help us lead healthy and positive lives as we grow older. So listen to this. This is what's new on the Living Well research front. And that is, we have discovered that during the pandemic and during COVID especially, people are able to weather the stress of social isolation and being disconnected better than others when they do this in particular. Any idea what that might be?
Reading, maybe? I don't know.
Exercise?
Reading or exercise, both good options. But this one comes from your inner soul. And this one doesn't require any particular physical capacity. It's as simple as having a strong life purpose, knowing what you want to do, and having direction, having structure in your life, having purpose, having a sense that your life is guided by something, if you will, personally meaningful. And that alone, apparently, can make a major difference in helping guard against feeling isolated and lonely.
Sense of purpose. And, of course, that can be defined in many ways, but I get exactly what you're saying, because sometimes on a Monday morning, waking up for work, I have less enthusiasm than I do if I know I'm getting together with family and I get to see my grandson.
You're right on the money there. It could, but it need not be a commitment to your career or to work that you do. It could be involvement in family ties, just like you said. It could be engagement in religion or spirituality. It could be being a parent and raising children. Or helping raise your grandchildren, it could be following through on some artistic ambition that you've had all your life. All of it is good. All of it gives you purpose in life.
I have to tell you, Dr. K, I am living with my 92-year-old mother. I moved in a couple of years to help her out, and what has gotten her through this past winter is being down in her garden. And this woman is obsessed with weeds. I mean, she lays on the lawn, she lays down back, and that is her sole purpose, is to get her garden going. She can't wait to give her tomatoes and cucumbers away. And I mean, it's to the point where it drives me crazy, but she's the happiest when she's there.
I love it. What an awesome example of something that is satisfying. Gives you purpose, gives you identity and direction in life, helps structure your day. It's something you can look forward to. It's all good, and it really hits the nail right on the head in terms of what we're talking about now.
It certainly does for her. Like I said, it drives me a little crazy because gardening's not my thing, but we get her down there and she sits there and she puts up her strings and plants her rose just as neat as could be and goes down there and weeds, and she just loves to tell everybody she's a born and bred farmer.
I encourage you to be patient and let her pursue her obsession, because it's a good one. In this case, it's a very healthy one.
Oh, absolutely. I know that from my soul. Just to watch her down there. You know, she is, it's amazing. And people walk by. We're in a neighborhood where people are constantly going by and talking to her and getting her out there. I swear it's why she's lived to 92.
We have, a lot of us have rediscovered our home, our yards. We've discovered the outdoors in the past year and a half. Count me as one of them. I've done more gardening and grass planting and shrubbery trimming than I think I've ever done earlier in life. It's what we've all rediscovered. We've rediscovered a simpler way of life, perhaps, and some of the basic ways in which we can discover how to be satisfied.
Yes, absolutely. And gratified. It's so gratifying for her.
You bet. You bet. Couldn't agree more.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. Senior Planning Center.com.